Our first lesson on this Pentecost day, recorded in Genesis chapter 11. Now the whole earth had one language and the same words, and as people migrated from the east, they found a plain in the land of Sinar and settled there. And they said to one another, "Come, let us make bricks and burn them thoroughly." And they had bricks for stones, and bitumen for mortar. Then they said, "Come, let us build ourselves a city and a tower with its top in the heavens, and let us make a name for ourselves, lest we be dispersed over the face of the whole earth." And the Lord came down to see the city and the tower which the children of man had built. And the Lord said, "Behold, they are one people, and they have all one language. And this is only the beginning of what they will do. And nothing that they pursue to do now will be impossible for them. Come, let us go down, and there confuse their language, and so they may not understand one another's speech." So the Lord dispersed them from there over the face of all the earth, and they left off building of the city. Therefore, its name was called Babel, because there the Lord confused the language of all the earth. And from there the Lord dispersed them over the face of all the earth. This is the word of the Lord. Our second reading this day is recorded in Acts chapter 2. When the day of Pentecost arrived, they were all together in one place, and suddenly there came from heaven a sound like a mighty rushing wind, and it filled the entire house where they were sitting. And divided tongues as of fire appeared to them and rested on each of them. They were all filled with the Holy Spirit and began to speak in other tongues as the Spirit gave them utterance. Now there were dwelling in Jerusalem Jews, devout men from every nation under heaven. And at this sound, the multitude came together, and they were bewildered, because each one was hearing them speak in his own language. And they were amazed and astonished, saying, "Are not all these who are speaking Galileans? How is it that we hear them, each in our own language? Parthians and Medes and Elamites, and residents of Mesopotamia, Judea and Cappadocia, Pontus and Asia, Phrygia and Pamphylia, Egypt and parts of Libya, belong to Cyrene, and the visitors from Rome, both Jews and proselytes, Cretans and Arabians. We hear them telling in our own tongues the mighty works of God." And all were amazed and perplexed, saying to one another, "What does this mean?" But others, mocking, said, "They are filled with new wine." But Peter, standing with the 11, lifted up his voice and addressed them, "Men of Judea, and all who dwell in Jerusalem, let this be known to you, and give ear to my words. For these men are not drunk, as you suppose, since it is only the third hour of the day. But this is what was uttered through the prophet Joel. And in the last days it shall be, God declares, that I will pour out my spirit on all flesh. And your sons and your daughters shall prophesy, and your young men shall see visions, and your old men shall dream dreams. Even on my male servants and female servants, in those days I will pour out my spirit, and they shall prophesy. And I will show wonders in the heavens above, and signs on the earth below, blood and fire and vapor of smoke. The sun shall be turned to darkness and the moon to blood before the day of the Lord comes, the great and magnificent day. And it shall come to pass that everyone who calls on the name of the Lord shall be saved." This is the word of the Lord. The Holy Gospel according to St. John, the 14th chapter. Jesus answered him, "If anyone loves me, he will keep my word, and my Father will love him. And we will come to him and make our home with him. Whoever does not love me does not keep my words, and the word that you hear is not mine, but the Father's who sent me. These things I have spoken to you while I'm still with you, But the Helper, the Holy Spirit, whom the Father will send in my name, he will teach you all things and bring to your remembrance all that I have said to you. Peace I leave with you. My peace I give to you. Not as the world gives do I give to you. Let not your hearts be troubled, neither let them be afraid. You hear me say to you, I am going away, and I will come to you. If you loved me, you would have rejoiced, because I am going to the Father, for the Father is greater than I. And now I have told you before it takes place, so that when it does take place, you may believe. I will no longer talk much with you, for the ruler of this world is coming. He has no claim on me, but I do as the Father has commanded me, so that the world may know that I love the Father. Rise, let us go from here. This is the gospel of the Lord. Grace to you, peace from God our Father, from our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Amen. Pentecost, a dramatic day. At least it should be. It's the church's birthday. And I see a few reds out there, thankfully. In the Middle Ages, Pentecost was a big deal. Hymns, prayers, and architecture. Yes, they even had holes in the ceiling of the cathedrals from which the ushers would drop doves at just the right moment into the congregation. The choir would break into wishing and drumming sounds of the holy windstorm. Finally, bushel upon bushel of red rose petals would be dropped from those same holes upon the congregation. So they called the holes the Holy Spirit holes. Some of the banners that we have today have holes in them. They're there, especially at the start of like a football game when the cheerleaders come running across the field to the where the locker rooms release the players onto the field. And by having the holes in the banners, the wind does not hold them back, but they're able to move swiftly to those places. The holes that we have are holes of the Spirit, and they are the Word of God and the sacraments, through which the Holy Spirit comes to us, motivating us, giving us excitement to live our lives. Today we say, come, Holy Spirit, come. How different Pentecost is from our news. For example, we can get news from so many sources today, our TVs, our personal media items, and radio in our car. But you know, there's always questions about that media that we receive of the news. For example, we've heard how many versions to the story of what took place in Texas at the school shooting of those 19 kids and those four teachers. There's a lot of babbling going on, isn't there? Do you know what we need? We need truth. We don't need babbling. And so today, God's word breaks into our understanding of confusion and speaks the truth, the saving truth, to you and me. He has the power to do it, and he does so through his word. We can trust him. Our text this morning, we heard from Genesis and Acts and John. They reveal to us that Jesus made a promise to his disciples and to us that has these key points in it. First of all, Jesus promises to give us truth. The Holy Spirit is the Spirit of truth. The Holy Spirit affirms all that Jesus taught and did was true. Jesus is not a figment of someone's imagination, but he was a person in real time and history by the grace of God. In addition to that, he was God himself. He came to earth for a specific purpose, to save his people from their sins. Do you believe this? If you do, it's the Holy Spirit that has worked this gift of faith into your heart and mine. You did not discover this on your own. God the Holy Spirit gave you the truth. It's not babbling, it's truth. Our world is filled with religions and all kinds of ideas of spiritual life. For example, palm readers. They tell us they can predict our future by looking at our palm. Some churches teach that if we do certain things, we can be accepted by God, and if we don't, we won't be. In addition to that, some religions of this world teach us that we are simply accidents, and our only hope is to live forever here on earth. Some teach that we will have many lives on this earth, and each one we are either working up or down by the way we live out our lives through reincarnation. However, Jesus teaches us that the Holy Spirit is here among us to teach us the difference between truth and lies. If you don't believe in Jesus as a Savior and your Savior and Lord, you either never heard the gospel or else you are rejecting the Holy Spirit. So today, the Holy Spirit is here to offer you and me truth. There's a second promise that stands out in these readings today. That is, Jesus tells us that the Holy Spirit teaches us about truth and Jesus so that we can share it with others, our family members, our loved ones, and this world that is broken and lives in hopelessness without faith in Jesus. Make sure that your fellow members, even here at Grace, know this truth. Tell everyone what Jesus is doing in your life. There's a third thought. The Holy Spirit is here to fill us with comfort and the joy of being a Christian. Because Jesus lives in our hearts, even in the midst of pain and loss, we know that we are never alone, that Jesus is with us to give us his peace. I witnessed the work of the Holy Spirit about 21 years ago. At that time, my brother-in-law, Bob Smith, was struck with a terrible disease, Crenshaw-Jacobs disease, or commonly called mad cow disease. In a few months, he went from normal to first losing his ability to speak, and then his ability to walk, and ultimately his ability to recognize people, and then to his death, all in a matter of 2 months. What a shock. A 68-year-old had this devastating illness, overwhelmed by it. But through it all, my sister Ethel has felt the comfort of God. No one can explain why Bob was struck with such a terrible disease that only strikes one or two out of every million people. Bob was a great, peaceful guy. Why Bob? We'll never know. We do know, though, that God was with Bob while his life was here on earth, and that Bob is now with God in heaven. And we also know that God will be with Ethel in the coming months and years until she joins Bob and those who've gone before in faith. If we don't have this certainty and promise from God, life can be scary and meaningless. All the savings Bob did for retirement, he never spent a dime of it to enjoy. In this world is all there is, then Bob missed out. However, that's not all there is to life, is there? God sent his comforter to be with us in this earthly life and to prepare us for our heavenly home with him. What a peace. What a comfort. In addition, the Holy Spirit is our mirror. He reminds us of our sin, and the moment we realize we are sinners, he comes through with this gift of forgiveness to us, just as we heard this morning as we began our time of worship. As we confess our sin, God doesn't hold it up to embarrass us, but rather he forgives us. We need that conviction, don't we? We need to see the need for our Savior. We need to see the constant hope Jesus offers to you and me. And another promise, Jesus is victorious. The Holy Spirit empowers us to live a life of victory, claiming that the prince of this world, Satan himself, cannot harm us. He's condemned. All our fears and worries about death have been destroyed because of Christ. Death and resurrection from the dead. That most dreaded of all fears, death itself, has been victorious in Jesus Christ. Yes, we will die, but we have the victory, a constant picture of God's availing love to us. So on this Pentecost Sunday, we see God's display of his raw power. Where is God's power today? Well, Romans 8 reminds us, we are all children of God and heirs of his kingdom. When the Holy Spirit gave us faith in Jesus, we received the gifts of the Spirit: love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, gentleness, faithfulness, and self-control. These are not things that we come up with. These are gifts from God to us. In Christ, we have life eternal. We don't even feel like a child of God. The Holy Spirit continues to lead us and encourage us with God's love, bringing us into an ever closer relationship with our Heavenly Father. Romans 8 continues, earth is not heaven. Therefore, we as children of God, we share in Jesus' suffering at times, as well as his glory. But this is where the joy of being led by the Spirit really comes in. Because we are God's children, led by his Spirit, we can overcome. We have a source of hope, strength, and inner peace that the world cannot give us or we cannot concoct within ourselves. We have the ultimate promise to share this glory for eternity. Nothing in this world can match the promise of Christ to us. Everything this world offers is based on what we see and touch, while the kingdom of God that the Holy Spirit gives us is eternal. So today, Pentecost Sunday, use your power. Admit you're powerless without God in your life. Confess it. Secondly, accept his gifts of salvation and adoption into his forever family and the benefits of the Spirit's power. Use the spiritual gifts that God has given to you to make a difference in your life and the lives of those around you and here at Grace Lutheran. And finally, the power you have in God is to build up, never to tear down or destroy. Do you want to be filled with the Holy Spirit and led by the Spirit? He is gentle and loving, but he also demands that the Lord be in your life. Are you willing to let your personality be taken over by God? He will give you life direction, and he may test and discipline you to prepare you for your eternal life with him. Through it all, he will enfold you with a love so vast, so all-embracing, so wonderful, that your very losses may seem like gains, and your small pains even like pleasure. This is the work of the Holy Spirit. And now may the peace that surpasses all human understanding keep our hearts and our minds in Christ Jesus to life everlasting. Amen.